Howdy, howdy!
Good day. Good day.
Come on, speed it up. Welcome to...
But it was aliens!
What he means is...
But it was aliens! La 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 la!
The supernatural comedy podcast where we probe paranormal events to determine whether those events were in actual fact paranormal. I'm your host today. My name is Kev. Alongside me, with no idea what's coming up today, is Mr. Granville Moonwalker.
I am indeed.
Today, we are covering what some may deem some sensitive topics. This one involves the Gary Police Department.
Gary.
And has been deemed to be one of the most unusual cases ever encountered by American departments of child services.
Okay, that I kind of don't want to joke now.
All the humour has suddenly been sucked out. Let's just do that intro again. Hi, welcome to But It Was Aliens.
Hello.
The podcast. What was that?
That was my somber version of...
Should we apologise in advance before we start this episode?
I don't. I have no idea. You're the one that wrote it.
We'll judge it at the end. Well, yeah. We'll see.
Go on. Apologise.
We mean no ill will.
If I could, I'd get up and do the Jesse Jackson butt dance right now. Apologise.
We begin this encounter in November 2011. The Ammons family, consisting of Mum Latoya Ammons, three children, and their grandmother, Rosa Campbell, had just moved to 3860 Carolina Street in Gary, Indiana.
In Gary.
This... Moxley, shush.
Gary.
This was a quiet, quiet road, filled with modest and cosy houses. Now, this was November, a cold time of year, a time of building towards Santa and general joy, a time of hibernation for many mammals and insects. This was certainly not a time for insect activity, let me tell you. But let me tell you, Big Mama Rosa Campbell was soon shaking her head, repeating to herself that, "This ain't normal! This ain't normal!" Flies, big black flies, begun flying into the screened porch. Ding! First one. Ding! Then another. Bing! And another. Bosh! Another! Before long, it was an absolute swarm. Family killed the flies, but no sooner did they do that than more flies arrived. The Ammons killed the flies again, but zing! More appeared still. More murder! Pow! More flies. Over and over, this cycle continued. The porch was absolutely covered in blankets of flies.
Ooh. What were they attracted to?
What do you reckon they were attracted to? Gary.
They just moved to the house. Maybe... So.
Right. Idea has there, just sprung.
There was a person that went to our school and decided that towards the end of year 11, which was, for those of you not in the UK, that's your last year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And this person decided that they would bring a fish in and hide it behind a radiator. In art.
Oh, no.
Has someone done something similar here, considering the family have just moved into the house?
To be honest, when I first read that section, my mind went straight to, is there a dead body under the porch? So you've gone slightly nicer than my internal monologue. But clearly you thought that first, you just didn't want to say it.
I just think if it was a dead body, I would have thought the smell would have like people would have smelt.
Well, you could say the same about a dead fish. I mean, fish don't smell great at the best of times.
I'm not saying it was necessarily a fish. I'm just saying they put something there. There could just be something sweet.
Or maybe something crawled under and nature took its course. And
yeah,
like cats, for example, take themselves away, don't they?
And so do dogs, yep.
It's never happening. I genuinely feel emotional thinking about that. Oh, my dog is one, freshly turned one, literally like a week ago. I'm ready. Pieces.
That was Kev, not the dog.
God damn. I just need a moment.
Moment of silence. Well, let's not have a moment of silence. We have an audio podcast to continue. Continue.
The flies were not all that was going on. It wasn't long before, just after midnight, as LaToya and Big Mama Rosa Campbell were laying in their beds, the family begun to hear footsteps. Slow footsteps. These footsteps clonked their way methodically up the basement stairs, followed by a creak as the door from the basement to the kitchen was softly pushed open. Clonk, clonk.
Creak!
The Ammons rushed downstairs, baseball bat and frying pan at the ready, but nobody was there. The next night, the same thing happened again. Clonk, clonk, clonk.
Creak!
One of the Ammons darted to defend their family, but again, nobody was there. Aha! Rosa Campbell thought.
I know how we'll solve this creepy noisy house shit. I'll lock the door.
Rosa Campbell locked the basement door. The next night, clonk, clonk, clonk.
Creak!
What the funk was going on? A few weeks later, as usual, Rosa Campbell awoke to those same sounds. Clonk, clonk,
creak.
Rosa Campbell headed towards the sound, but as Rosa Campbell entered the living room, Rosa Campbell froze in place. Rosa Campbell had been greeted by the sight of shadowy silhouette figure making their way across Rosa Campbell's living room. Rosa Campbell watched on as the figure disappeared. Rosa Campbell came to and began looking around. There were large, wet boot prints around the room. If you think that's scary, things really escalated on the 10th of March, 2012. The voice I was going for there was Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's House, but it's not really coming out.
Oh, child.
I can't even remember.
I just don't have the range.
What I do wonder is clonk, 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 creak.
Creak?
After the first time, I don't understand why they're still in the house.
To be fair,
that makes zero sense to me.
I may well have been gone at the flies.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have even looked for whatever was under the porch. Just nope.
I think if the flies would have happened, I would have called an exterminator and asked them to have a look under to see if there was a animal that had crawled under there and died. After the clonk, clonk, clonk creak, I'm out the house, I'm looking to sell, I'm sleeping in a motel or a hotel,
mm-hmm.
Holiday Inn, I am out of there.
Imagine if you called the exterminator and then clonk, clonk, knock, knock.
I just think it was the exterminator.
Terminator. Arnie.
Skynet bitches.
Arnie is at your door.
Depends what he asks for.
His first words. I need your boots.
Take them.
What is it? Your boots, your helmet, and your motorcycle. Something, isn't it?
Your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
You don't even have a motorbike. You're like, take it, take it.
your clothes, your shoes, and your motorcycle. I think it's that.
I think. It's been ages since I've watched Terminator. I say this every time we do
a
podcast.
We mention a film.
Yeah, we do. It's been ages. I'm going to watch it. Do I watch it? Sometimes.
On the 10th of March, 2012, about 2 a.m., that's 2 in the morning, Granville, unusually for the family, the parents and the children were still awake. A friend of the family had recently passed away, and so the family were up late with a group of friends mourning their loss. Latoya was in Rosa Campbell's bedroom when suddenly the whole house was startled by the sound of Latoya shouting, "Mama! Mama!" Rosa Campbell ran to the bedroom where Latoya's 12-year-old daughter and her friend were staying, to be greeted by a horrifying sight. The 12-year-old was laying unconscious above the bed. Literally floating above the bed. What are you doing in this scenario, Mr. Moonwalker, if you're Rosa Campbell? You walk in and your granddaughter is floating in the air, unconscious. Because I'm opening the window and letting that child go. Oh, child, you gone.
I'm
don't
gonna,
come back.
Either going to faint.
I'm going to make a great parent. Peace.
Or.
And then I'm moving house. I'm changing my identity.
I would try and grab them and see what happens. Well, I'll try and grab them to protect them, but I suppose.
But it might infect you, whatever it is.
On what it is. No. Yeah, but grandkids safe. That's all that matters.
Son.
We're going to be two different grandparents. Can I see what is making them float?
No, they're just floating. Could be anything.
Could be superpowers.
Could be superpowers. They could be a mutant. They could be an alien Superman type scenario. Or Dark Superman. What was that film called? Bright?
Ooh.
I might have just spoiled that.
Yeah, I'll just try and grab them. Or faint. Yeah, if I don't faint and shit my pants, I'm grabbing them.
You could do all three at once. You're holding on to them completely out cold whilst shitting. Oh, Lord! Rosa Campbell, Latoya, and the family of friends formed a circle around the 12-year-old child and begun praying. After approximately 2 minutes, the 12-year-old evidently felt the power of the Lord because the child gradually floated back down to the bed. Suffice to say, the family friends never visited the Ammons again. The next day, Rosa Campbell sat Latoya down. Both had already formulated an idea of what was going on, as Rosa Campbell said to Latoya,
"We need help. We need to talk to someone who knows how to deal with it."
The Ammons family began contacting local churches, but nobody wanted to listen after they heard about the floating daughter. Imagine being a church receptionist and receiving that call. Not your everyday request, is it? Eventually, someone did listen though. A local church agreed to visit the Ammons family, and during this visit, they would determine,
"There is a presence in this house."
The church recommended that the Ammons family clean the entire house with bleach and ammonia before using oil to draw crosses on every single window and door within the house. That wasn't all. At the church's suggestion, Latoya poured oil on all of the children's hands and feet before drawing crosses on the children's foreheads using the oil. Unusual happenings sadly continued. At this point, with the church's suggestions not really panning out, the Ammons had little choice but to look elsewhere. The family contacted not one, but two clairvoyants. The clairvoyants visited the family home and advised the Ammons family that the sensible thing to do would be to move. The clairvoyants would determine that the home was itself home to more than 200 demons. 200 demons. 200. 200 demons. 200 of them.
Now, the question is, are these 200 lesser demons? Or are they 200 of your Big Mac Daddy demons?
200 kings of hell.
One Mac Daddy demon and 199 lesser demons.
How many Mac Daddy demons are there?
I kind of want to know what the bleach and ammonia and oil were meant to do.
That is an unusual suggestion, isn't it?
Very.
Like, if my local church suggested that to me, if I was having a bit of bother around the house, I'd probably be looking for a new church.
I'd be like, so what?
No disrespect to if that's like there's some sort of religious context behind it, but that's not a context I've ever heard.
Like, what is that mental
oil is
ward
nasty.
Off of?
I don't know, but if you get oil on you, like if you eat a bit of KFC or something, that grease on your hands, that's nasty, and it takes effort to get that off. Imagine having your whole hands and feet just dunked in oil.
What would be amazing though? Dunk your feet in oil, just run and slide across the kitchen.
Slide across the kitchen floor. Whee!
You could do Ferris Bueller's all day long. In every room.
I'm sliding, Ma.
You could skid.
Look at us, I'm skidding. Skid. You might leave skid marks.
I mean, They've said the most sensible thing out of everyone so far, and that's move.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Why did they need to hear that? They should have been gone.
Exactly. But I would also like to determine how they came up with the number 200.
Maybe, you know when that lady walks around in Poltergeist? This house is clear. That lady.
No.
Wow. I'd expected you to know that, sir.
Not seen the film.
You've never seen the Poltergeist films?
Nope.
Wow. Wow. You need to watch that. Poo your pants. So basically, my idea is that they went around the house, like clairvoyants can sense things. So touching the walls, touching the windows, everything just... There's another presence. There's another presence. There's one in there. Chair leg's got a presence in it.
How did they know it wasn't the same presence?
Because they can maybe sense differences between them. Like, if you've got an extra sense, it might operate just like your sight or your hearing, so you can tell the difference. It's probably hard to conceptualise for a mere mortal such as yourself.
It is. So continue. Explain it a bit more, please.
So if you were to look at me and to look at my sister, you could tell us apart, yes?
Yes.
So if you
until
had...
Until you an... both speak, you sound like your sister.
My sister is very well spoken.
That was meant to be disrespectful to you, but then realised it was disrespectful to your sister, so I'm sorry.
Hey!
To your sister. Both of you.
I very highly doubt that one of them will ever hear this. The other most certainly will.
It's the other one, then.
The Ammons were a little bit tight for money, unfortunately, so moving was not an option. When people watch exorcism-like films, we often say to ourselves, well, why don't they just move? But the cost of living is a bastard, my friends. Not everyone can afford the outlay.
You can downsize. I would downsize to get the fuck out of there. I would buy a tent, buy a caravan, cardboard box.
Moving three children is expensive enough with all the belongings, let alone rent.
Leave them.
Or solicitor fees.
Not the kids, the belongings.
Leave the kids. Sorry, kids, you stay there. Toodle pip. Demons can have you. Fair trade?
It's their stuff now.
Their children now, you deal with them.
Do you reckon, like, some of the abandoned houses that still have stuff in them, it's just where people have gone, nope, fuck that. That's their stuff now.
Probably. But, yeah, there's lots of money when you think about property, whether you're renting or whether you're owning. Because you've got all the solicitor fees, you're talking, like, upwards of 10k.
Fucking solicitors.
What do they call it? Stamp duty and all those kind of hidden fees, the actual moving fees themselves. But then there's also, if you're renting, deposits. If you just leave, you might lose your deposit.
Your deposit or your life?
Both. Depending on your landlord.
Deposit or your kid.
But then on top of that, you've got the emotional and practical upheaval of changing schools, losing friends. And the Ammons family had actually only just recently moved.
I would not give two shits about school,
children,
friends, any of that shit. If I was living in a haunted house with 200 demons, I'm out. Out.
Well, what I'm basically... Go on.
No, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You don't want to open up communication.
Oh. And if you do, you better damn well make sure you close it at the end.
Mm. Yeah, let's forget that.
No, let's open up. Mr. Moonwalker is inviting all the spirits in now.
No,
you heard him, folks. He specifically said, let's open up. But yeah, what I'm saying is it is not easy financially or emotionally to move. Because of this, the Ammons family did the only sensible thing that there was left to do. They installed an altar in the basement of their home.
I thought you were going to say they burned the house down and got the insurance money.
No. I do have a photo of the Ammons house for Mr. Moonwalker. Not the altar, just the empty house taken by the police during the investigation, which we'll get to for reference, but we'll get to that. The Ammons took a table in the basement, covered it with a white sheet, and stuck a candle on the table, and boom! Altar! The family added some small statues of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and boom!
Jesus, El Savior Christ!
Powerful altar. The Bible was added to the table. Open.
Bell.
Open on Psalm 91. I had to spell that out phonetically to remind myself how to pronounce it because I just read at speed and will cock that up.
Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Whomever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty.
Bobby Lashley.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart.
Spear from Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
Through the table.
LaToya began wearing white t-shirts and wrapping white scarves around their head. Pure. The Ammons began burning sage and sulfur around the house from top to bottom. The smoke in the house got so thick that it was hard to breathe. For me too. And LaToya began drawing crosses in the smoke.
You will not fear the terror of the night.
Things cleared. Things were good. For 3 days.
They went to regroup. So you have this picture of the house here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm immediately drawn to the ghostly figure in the window.
What ghostly figure? That's an empty house.
That is not an empty house.
It's legitimately an empty house. No one was in there when this was taken.
That is either a very, very... What the hell happened there?
I don't know. Remember before we've spoken about how spirits can travel through devices?
So that is either a very, very weird camera trick.
It's not a camera trick. This is a legitimate photo, genuinely.
An optical illusion of the eye, But it really does look like there is someone stood there in the window.
Doesn't it, though?
No matter how much you zoom that back, it just looks like someone stood there.
So all the accounts are absolutely adamant that the house was completely empty when this photo was taken.
Oh, that is creepy.
Now, for me, I can actually see a figure and a second figure behind the figure. This is like Haunting of Hill House stuff.
Is the second figure the
directly behind the first?
To
yes.
Their left, our right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Frickin' dicky.
I'm not in that house.
Ever! As I was researching this one, I wasn't really given bits too much thought, but it's actually quite freaky.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Remember, the Ammons children were 7, 9, and 12. And if there is one thing we know about children, it's that they are shits. But if it's two things, it's that they're vulnerable shits. That evening, the 7-year-old came downstairs for dinner with bulging eyes. Not only that, but there was a huge smile across their face. As LaToya gave the child a drink, gone was their usual child high-pitched voice.
Thanks. Thanks, bitch.
It only got worse. Soon,
profanity would spew from its mouth.
All of the Ammons children were being taken over almost daily. You could only tell a possession was in swing when the children would answer with that deep voice.
Hey, your ma, you better give me some fucking Cheerios and milk.
Bitch.
Ah, my throat can't handle it.
Damn it.
Luckily for Rosa Campbell, Rosa Campbell was born with a protective guardian, so Rosa Campbell couldn't be possessed. LaToya wasn't so fortunate, and without the gift, would feel warm, lightheaded, and weak as something attempted to take over LaToya. LaToya's body would shake of its own accord. Things continued to escalate. LaToya's 7-year-old boy began sitting in the closet talking to someone. A boy, in fact. A boy that nobody else could see. The boy began explaining to the 7-year-old what it felt like to be killed. Just as I read that last line, the lights that are on in the back garden have just shut off.
So did the ones in the hallway.
Yeah. Yet the lights in the studio remain on, so it isn't a power cut.
The other day, I had a dream where somebody was trying to kill a family member of mine.
I'm so going to probe your dreams one day.
So, in this dream, I stood in front of them, and then they were pressing the gun up against me, and I managed to turn it and shoot them. But
why are your dreams so messed up?
I didn't shoot them just once. I kind of went overkill. And then, in a state of panic, turned a gun and shot myself in the head.
Did you wake up?
I felt that. It's really hard to explain, but then it felt, because I didn't die instantly. I hit the floor.
Whoa.
And I could feel my eyes rolling back into my head, and I was getting a sharp pain in the front of my head, and then I woke up with a sharp pain in the front of my head. It was really fucking weird.
Whatever you're watching before bed, stop.
I don't watch anything, I just go straight to bed.
Either you're psychologically harmed or something is attempting to make contact with you.
That was trippy.
It sounds trippy. I need you to send me a message with all your weird dreams over the last few months in for science.
Can you remember the one? I think I sent it to you. Oh, this is ages ago. We're in a park being chased by a bear, and then went into some, there was a DJ or someone that had a cave in the woods, and we went and hid in there. And there was someone from EastEnders, Phil Mitchell was there. It was really fucking weird. Scottish DJ and Phil Mitchell in a dream, hiding from a bear. It was madness.
Somehow I only recall the bear and not Phil Mitchell. I would have thought that that's the bit that stuck. Right, we're getting way off track
here. I'm literally just going to message you every dream I have now.
Next year on your birthday, I'm going to like look into the meaning of every single one.
Oh, speaking of which,
really fucking creepy
dream. So my nan has passed.
Yeah.
And I had a dream that she was in it. And she was telling me about a lost child. This child had been lost or been missing. And in this dream, she told me where it was. And John Terry had taken the child.
Ex-Premier League footballer John Terry.
And then John Terry got chased down by the police and he kind of figured out that I knew where that he'd done it.
He's had it.
And then he was trying to get away on a speedboat. It's really weird. Yeah,
he's never the quickest, was he? So.
And then John Terry got killed by the police. And it was like, you can't kill him because now we don't know where the child is.
Oops.
And then the child was found in his basement.
Your dreams, man. Your dreams.
So if anyone hears that and John Terry has a child in his basement, oh.
You've got the sight. All right.
Yeah, my dreams are fucking crazy.
It wasn't long before the 7-year-old begun being ragdolled. Rosa Camp... I'm sorry, I'm still laughing about Phil Mitchell. But only our UK listeners are going to get that reference, I'd imagine. So just Google who Phil Mitchell is. Phil Mitchell EastEnders, folks. This is who Granville dreams of.
It was so fucking random.
Oh,
I swear I've had a dream that Phil Mitchell was my dad before as well.
Oh no.
Fuck me.
That does sound familiar. Right. It wasn't long before the 7-year-old began being ragdolled. Rosa Campbell witnessed the 7-year-old get thrown out of the bathroom like Jazzy Jeff by Uncle Phil in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. A headboard later swung at the 12-year-old daughter, resulting in stitches. The family begun sleeping in a hotel and Thank visited God. Family doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Onyekwu. Onyekwu. The doctor would later tell the Indianapolis Star, 20 years and I've never heard anything like that in my life. I was scared myself when I walked into the room. The doctor's notes would read, delusions of ghost in the home and hallucinations. So the doctor initially believed that the Ammons believed, but he wasn't saying that it was spookies. Things soon got more convincing. During the visit, the 7-year-old in that deep voice cursed Dr. Onyekwu. A report by a family case manager from Children's Services detailed that the 7-year-old was then lifted by an invisible force and thrown against a wall. The 7-year-old and 9-year-old boys then passed out at the doctor's office and couldn't be roused. Police and ambulance crews arrived and took the boys to Gary Methodist Hospital. At hospital, staff laughed at LaToya's request to rub olive oil into the boys. Shortly after, the 9-year-old returned to normal, but the 7-year-old began thrashing, requiring restraint from 5 men. 7-year-old. A formal children's services investigation commenced on suspicion of neglect and abuse. A caller had suspected LaToya was unwell and was encouraging the behaviour. The 12-year-old would explain to mental health professionals that she often felt as if she was being held down and choked. A voice told the 12-year-old that she'd never see her family again.
If a mother is abusing and neglecting their children...
Allegedly.
You would assume that the children are malnourished and in a state of weakness. In a state of strength, a 7-year-old cannot be that strong that it takes 5 men to hold them down. So if they are neglected and abused, they're not going to have the strength. So that That's thrown out the window.
Yeah, not nutritionally abused or neglected, I guess. But then there's nothing to say that they were, like, unclothed or any of that kind of thing either. Nope. And no one's suggesting there's, like, marks or bruises on them.
I mean,
I guess what they're seeing is LaToya is saying that there's 200 demons and she's dipping their feet and hands in oil. And Children's Services thinking, well, demons don't exist as far as the law is concerned. We've got to make a call here. Really, really, I've read it in the notes, like, really difficult call for professionals to make.
Absolutely.
What do you do?
Believe her. I see they've taken the 12-year-old and they've asked the 12-year-old some questions. But I suppose what you do is you put yourself in that position, don't you? You have to, if you don't believe in that type of thing and you think that this is abuse and neglect, you go into that home and see if what they're saying is real.
Mm-hmm.
However, you won't catch me doing that shit.
Even if you don't believe it, you're still going to be cacking your pants a bit as you go into that house, aren't you?
Yep.
That's going to shake you.
I suppose at that point, would you... I don't know if they'd have the power to put them into another environment.
Like, depends on how strong the evidence is. That's a good point.
If they're saying it's the house, then remove them from the house and see.
You can't remove an adult necessarily. The law is tricky in that way. It's unlikely that all of them would be removed together.
Okay.
If you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Family case manager Valerie Washington's report confirms that no marks or any evidence of harm were found on the children, and the hospital psychiatrist found LaToya to be of sound mind. Whilst Valerie interviewed the family in hospital, the 7-year-old began growling. Their eyes rolled back in their head. The 7-year-old then attacked the 9-year-old, attempting to choke them. After adults intervened again, things were left for a little. Later that night, Valerie would again interview the family with nurse Willie Lee Walker. During this interview, the 7-year-old looked into the 9-year-old's eyes and began growling again. The report details that the 7-year-old then said in a deep, unnatural voice,
"It's time to die. I will kill you."
The 9-year-old then began headbutting Rosa Campbell's tummy, so Rosa Campbell grabbed the child and began praying. Brace yourself, folks. As detailed by both Valerie and nurse Willie Walker, the 9-year-old gave a weird smile, then walked backwards up the wall and on to the ceiling. The boy flipped off the ceiling, landing behind Rosa Campbell, having never let go of Rosa Campbell's hand the whole time. This is in official reports. When asked if this was like an acrobatic motion, Valerie clarified that it was not. The 9-year-old had almost glided backwards up the wall, slowly. Police reports confirm that both Valerie and Willie Walker ran out of the room. A true walker.
Yep.
When a doctor heard what had happened, they called bullshit. They went to ask the 9-year-old to do it again, but by this point, the 9-year-old was back to normal and had no recollection as to what had happened. The 9-year-old obviously couldn't repeat the event. For what it's worth, nurse Walker summarised that what they'd seen the 9-year-old do had some demonic spirit to it. But it was also a result of mental health difficulty. Valerie is quoted as suspecting an evil influence could have been affecting the family. That night, Rosa Campbell took the 9 and 12-year-olds to a relative's house whilst LaToya stayed in hospital with the 7-year-old. The next day, which was the 7-year-old's 8th birthday, the Children's Services took the unusual step of taking all three children into local authority care without seeking a court order on the basis of immediate spiritual and emotional harm.
Oh, sorry for these kids.
Sorry for all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you're looking, you're assessing, as a children's services worker, potential harm, I guess, and you're confronted with a family who are potentially deeply religious, you can't say they're not of sound mind, because that's their belief system.
Yep.
Yet you've got children being dunked in oil.
Doing flips.
But I think this is probably one of the most complex circumstances you could probably encounter in that area. Usually if people are being harmed, it's pretty clear cut at that point.
Mm-hmm. At no point do you ever see the adults attack the children. It's Mm-mm. the children attacking the children and saying... Yeah,
their eyes roll back, the deep voice comes, they start shaking and whatnot, and...
Give me them Cheerios. I want my Frosties. They're great. Cocoa Pops.
On April the 20th, 2012, Honourable Reverend Michael Magano received a call from a hospital chaplain. The call was to request an exorcism of a 9-year-old boy. Reverend Reverend said, and this is a really reasonable response, that first, they must rule out the possibility of natural explanations. The Reverend visited the Ammons home on April the 20th, 2012, and after 2 hours of interview, the interview was interrupted by a flickering light in the bathroom. Reverend Maganot walked over to investigate, and the flickering stopped. As soon as the Reverend sat back down, it started again. This happened over and over. Every time the Reverend approached, the flickering stopped. This was a sign of demonic activity. The demons feared holiness. Next, blinds in the kitchen began swinging, and suddenly, wet footprints appeared through the living room. Latoya began getting a severe headache. The Reverend placed a crucifix against Latoya's head, and Latoya began convulsing. After a 4-hour visit, the Reverend was convinced that there were both ghosts and demons in this house. This house is not clean. The Reverend Maganot advised the family to leave and blessed the house. The Ammons went to stay with relatives. A week later, Latoya and Rosa Campbell had to return to show Children's Services the condition of the house. Valerie was back, accompanied by a Lake County police officer. Two other officers from Gary and Hammond Police Force, Gary, also joined, because they basically wanted to see what was going on. In exploring the house, beneath the stairs in the basement, the officers found a dirt floor, almost as if something had broken through the concrete. The altar and salt rings remained in place. As the officers walked around, one of the officers' recorders began malfunctioning. Police records confirm that on the other recorder, at this time during the playback, an unusual voice can be heard saying,
"Hey."
Police photos of the house, like the one we saw earlier, showed eerie faint figures of females all around the house. Police Captain Charles Austin has said that they didn't believe in demons prior to this visit, but do now. On their way home, the car radio malfunctioned. The car seat kept trying to go backwards, and the garage door at Austin's home wouldn't open. Alongside this, A court order was granted for temporary wardship of the children. It had transpired that the children were regularly not in school too, which LaToya had said was because the spirits were making the children unwell. The older two children were sent to a care home, whilst the youngest, the now 8-year-old, was sent for psychiatric evaluation. Clinical psychologist Stacey Wright found that the 8-year-old acted possessed when challenged and was otherwise logical. When speaking of demons, the stories the 8-year-old told lacked consistency, with details changing each time. Evaluations of the older children via clinical psychologist Joel Schwartz came to similar conclusions around family induction into a delusional belief system. The older children did remain firm in their accounts of paranormal activity at the family home, such as doors slamming, floating objects, and shadow figures, though.
So it appears that there's no tethering to the house.
Tethering to the children, it would appear.
Or does it tether to those that enter?
It appears to be those that have entered, and I guess it's got a strong connection to the children. See, I think if possession is real, that demons probably would be quite keen to give inconsistent accounts and have a laugh and a giggle because they don't want to be discovered, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Also, what they if don't there's more than one?
Exercised, and that too, yeah. As we said, 200 demons and ghosts.
What if?
You're speaking to a different one each time.
Exactly. You're not speaking to the same one, or you may not even be speaking to the 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm. LaToya was tasked with moving to a different home and getting a job, alongside exploring positive reinforcement and alternate forms of discipline not related to religion and demons. LaToya did work on these things, and officers continued to investigate LaToya's house. 5 officers, the Reverend, family case manager Samantha Illick, and a police dog visited the house next time on May the 10th, 2012, after working hours. Samantha was visiting because Valerie didn't want none of this demon shit. In the basement, Samantha found an unusual sticky liquid running down a wall. In search of a cursed item or dead body to explain the activity, the police dug a 4-foot by 3-foot hole beneath the stairs. The police report details that items recovered included a pink fake fingernail, a white pair of panties, a shirt pin, a pot lid, socks with the bottoms cut off below the ankles, sweet wrappers, and a heavy metal weight. Blessed salt was spread throughout the basement and under the stairs. As the visit went on, both Samantha and LaToya experienced head and body aches and had to leave. Officers, meanwhile, found an oil-like substance of unknown origin dripping from blinds in a bedroom. Officers cleaned the oil and sealed the room for 25 minutes to make sure that this wasn't oil spread by LaToya or Rosa Campbell. When officers went back inside the bedroom, the oil had come back. Father Maginot said that this was a sign of demon activity. This same day, after the church had refused the father's request to do an exorcism, Father Maginot, the Reverend, had looked up how to do a mini exorcism online, which doesn't require church approval, before performing this on LaToya. Within 10 days of this visit, that family officer, Samantha, got third-degree burns from a motorcycle. Within 30 days, Samantha had broken 3 ribs skiing, broken a hand on a table, and broken an ankle. Targeted. Why would you go to the house after dark?
Why would you go to the house?
Why after working hours? Well, if it's job, then someone's got to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Not taking that one. You can fire me. Maybe she pissed them off.
Maybe she was looking for that mental health angle and the demons were like, no, you will believe. Oh, you will believe.
Possibly that, yeah.
Or maybe she was going at it from the demon angle, and the demons were like, you won't. You won't tell people we exist. Or you will not.
Because the fact that they had what they believed to be something good going on, and she's come in and ruined it.
Mm-hmm. Bringing too much attention.
Mm-hmm.
At Father Magano's suggestion, LaToya began looking up the names of the demons attacking the family through the symptoms experienced. Many demons were identified, including Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. By this point, the church had approved an exorcism, which is more powerful than a mini exorcism because it has Catholic Church backing. Two English and one Latin exorcisms were performed at Magano's church. Two police officers attended the English exorcisms. LaToya and Rosa Campbell also moved to Indianapolis, with the father blessing the new home. The house was a clean. That's it for this one. LaToya Ammons regained custody of her three children in November 2012. LaToya has been refreshingly open in this case. LaToya has shared the story on the condition that her children are not named or approached. LaToya signed an agreement giving the Indianapolis Star access to the family's physical health, psychological, and other records not freely available on that condition. This one was also subject to a police investigation, including several interviews, and the Department of Child Services were involved, as we've covered. In all, there are over 800 pages of evidence in this case. There is even the account from Catholic priest Father Magano. These accounts are not always the kindest towards LaToya and family, and LaToya is aware of this. LaToya just wants the truth out there. This case is extremely well documented, though that photo of the house we discussed earlier has been claimed by the police not to have come from official police records. We touched on alternative theories. This one is basically demons and ghosts, or mental health and religious ideology gone extreme on vulnerable minds. A third idea, though, which has been floated, suggests that LaToya was behind on rent payments and used this case as an excuse not to pay rent. The landlord, Charles Reed, said that he never had any issues before or after the Ammons family lived in his property. Police officers, though, have continued to drive by either to check on the property or out of curiosity, which Mr. Reed requested cease as it was scaring his new tenants. Lots of people believed this one. Do you?
Yep, I'm in.
We're just about to summarise. Anything you want to think about before we do that?
Again, 200 demons.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if you've got one... That's a good point. All those flies and they never went to the landlord.
Well, maybe they did.
They might have done.
He said they've never had any problems before or since. He didn't say that problems weren't raised whilst they were there.
That is true. Again, it's possible that they did that to get out of paying rent, but there's too many people that have witnessed things going on.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the most well-documented and evidenced cases we've ever covered on this show. And you can access a lot of this stuff.
I'm going to let you summarise.
I will just add one more thought. What if it's one demon pretending to be the 200 demons? One really clever demon, because to get rid of demons, you have to name them, don't you? Identify them and name them before you can get rid of them.
I did not know
so
that.
So if there's one pretending that they're 200... that enabling all the other ones except for the one that's actually there.
How would you ever find out the name of it, though?
Part of the exorcism process is you identify them. You can try and trick them into... You ask them to name themselves, tell them by the power of Christ to name themselves. You can look at the impact of what they're doing to try and identify which one they are, because they've all got different profiles in religious scripture and whatnot. I am basically an exorcist.
Okay.
Right, this one has been huge. So in a really swift summary, we've covered a horrid haunting of sorts which begun in November 2011. The Ammons family had moved inside Gary, and shortly after the move, just like the start of some sort of horror movie, big black flies began swarming the porch of the house. This quickly escalated to footsteps coming from the basement and the basement door creaking open. Soon, the Ammons saw a figure who left behind footprints. On the 10th of March 2012, things really hit the fan when the children began being possessed, with levitation, unusual grins, and deep voices. These possessions were witnessed by many professionals, including an occasion in hospital where one of the children walked backwards up a vertical wall onto the ceiling. Professionals suspected neglect and abuse and removed the three children from the care of Latoya Ammons, whilst a police investigation remained ongoing too. That police investigation resulted in unusual evidence, including figures in photos and a sticky substance running down some walls and blinds. A father was called in and performed exorcisms on the family home. The family moved house and the issues stopped. Latoya regained custody of the children. The main professional view was that there was no mental health issue of the children further than the influence of a very religious family. But most involved felt a sense of unease in this one, and there were some hard to explain events. Latoya has signed agreements letting the media access the evidence from this case, including health records, on the condition that the family are protected from any attention. American paranormal investigator and host of Ghost Adventures, Zach Baggins, bought the house in 2014 and demolished it in 2016. Is there anything you'd like to go back over before we conclude, Mr. Moonwalker? To get rid of the spirits. I guess he believed that the spirits were tethered to the house rather than the people, and they attached temporarily to the people but were aligned to the house, and he couldn't let that continue.
The house and not the earth underneath it?
Well, if it's demolished, then I don't know. I'll give Zach a call.
There's a lot. There is a lot. I'm still intrigued by oil.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does.
Well, so my two thoughts there. One, I did mention this as we were sort of chatting, that when you get oil on your hands or grease on your hands, it is a mother trucker to get rid of. So maybe they thought they'd got rid of it off the curtains, but that oil just keeps on coming. Or maybe it is continuing to appear and it's like ectoplasm.
No, I meant in terms of washing the kids' hands in oil.
Oh, what's the purpose?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Can't remember if that was detailed anywhere.
What does the oil do that it's meant?
Maybe it forms a barrier to where the children are coming into contact with dirty grounds, as in demonic dirtiness. Used poor terminology there, but hopefully you get where I'm coming from. Holy oil?
Wouldn't it have to be blessed by a priest?
Maybe it was. There's been all sorts of folks involved. Remember, they've been to several churches.
Right. Is it time to conclude?
Are you saying that it was spookies?
Yes.
Woo!
The walking backwards up a wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
Yeah, so I've got some thoughts on that. So for me, this one was pretty intense. The most explainable bit on first read, much as for yourself, was the child walking up the wall. But when you really think about it, this would be possible if being held by the firm arm or arms of Rosa Campbell. Once I heard that the grandmother was holding the child's hand, I slipped into sort of skeptic mode and struggle to dig myself out, seeing theories of the children performing for their mum and being stressed and angry from the emotional upheaval of moving home. It then became quite a sad tale, though at least it does appear to have had a happy ending. Whilst I don't wish misery on anyone, I do wish we had identities for all of the 200 demons involved before we got here, but we don't. It was empty words, and if anything, yeah, I kind of said this in I think it seems more like one demon to me than 200. I've just got a suspicion that it's one really, really clever one.
So you're saying it's spooky, then?
It doesn't sit comfortably with me saying that it's caused by religion. And yeah, the family are doing fine now, as far as I could find. So, yeah.
Maybe it's a spot.
I'm not saying that it was spookies, but it was spookies.
It was spookies.
I want no piece of that.
Me neither. For never in a day.
Yeah. No disrespect to any demons involved.
You mentioned spookies, and my nose hasn't stopped running since.
But is spookies even the... Are we saying spookies, ghosts, or demons? Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going for demon.
So paranormal, yes.
I'm going for demonsies.
Is it demonic?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Any final thoughts?
Cookie.
Cookie? Ah, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that is a wrap for today. Thank you for listening to But It Was Aliens. If you've enjoyed today's case, enjoy the show, or really just want to spread some enjoyment, you can. If you head on over to patreon.com/ButItWasAliens for the cost of a coffee.
For the cost of a coffee?
A coffee, gosh darn it.
A coffee?
You can sign up to become a patron of the show. As a show of our gratitude, you will gain access to our side probes.
Side probes.
The most dirty, despicable, or downright dastardly paranormal investigations we have undertaken. We're talking mysteries, conspiracies, dirty shenanigans. This stuff is raw. I drop F-bombs. Moonwalker drops acid. All sorts goes down, and we use the funds raised to prepare for alien invasion. If you'd rather support our time than our safety, you can do that too. You can hit us up on the X Twitter.
On the Twitter!
At But It Was Aliens with your episode suggestions. You can also find us on Facebook, where But It Was Aliens has a secret publicly private group called Extraterrestrial. Which we plan to one day build into a doomsday civilization, and we absolutely will not use you all to keep me and Mr. Moonwalker safe.
To keep us safe.
Which we plan to one day.
You just wanted to do that again, didn't you?
Yeah. One day build into a doomsday civilization, and we absolutely will not use you all to keep me and Mr. Moonwalker alone safe post alien invasion. You'll all be fine. Honestly. That is it for this episode. So until next time, why is Luke always warm?
Because he's cool.
The truth is up there. That made even less sense.
I know.
Hashtag Proba. Oh yeah.
Ah, demons.